Hello, friends, and welcome to Coach Cuts Corner. Streaming bright from Michigan's capital city, this podcast is dedicated to helping you better understand the who, the what, and the why of mental performance, personal growth, and Lansing Stars baseball. Coach Cuts Corner, brought to you by Eyewash.
In collaboration with Lansing Community College.
And now here's your host, Stephen Cutter.
Welcome to Coach Cuts Corner. This is where we challenge limits, push for greatness, and dive deep into the mindset of high performers. Each week, I bring you insights from our program, conversations with athletes and coaches, and lessons that drive success on and off the field. If you're serious about growth, you're in the right place. Let's get after it. This morning in the WLNZ studios, I have assistant coach Jeff Allen and Stars outfielder Matt Fountain. Welcome to the show, fellas.
Thanks for having me.
How's everybody doing this morning?
Phenomenal.
We're going to go over a little bit of your journey and a lot of other highlights. So you've been in our program for 3 years now.
Yep.
And the first time on the podcast.
Yeah.
What took so long?
It's the first time you asked me.
Okay. So. All right. So you were too afraid to say, hey, I'm in my third year. I should be on this show, right?
I should have. Yeah. Should have seen you.
Okay. How'd you get into baseball?
I got into baseball at a very young age. I want to say about 3 years old. Just started with my dad throwing a ball at me in the backyard. Okay. And
did he hit you when he threw the ball at you?
Maybe a couple times, okay. But, you know, a couple times as I got older. And when we played with football, too.
Okay.
You know.
Builds character.
Yeah.
You know, you're pretty tall. You're like 6'7" range. Yeah. You know, your brother's taller than you, but we won't talk about that. But did you play other sports besides baseball?
Yeah. I played pretty much all you could think. I played lacrosse in the yard, not competitively, but lacrosse, swim, basketball, football, soccer. I play golf now as well. So
okay. So in school, what did you play in high school?
In high school, I played football and baseball.
Okay.
Yep.
What position in football?
Receiver and kicker.
Kick off or for extra points?
Everything. Punter, kicker, really? And kickoffs. Yep.
What's the longest field goal you've made?
I want to say 35 yards. Okay.
Did you ever have to make a tackle?
I did, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Something get blocked and you had to make a tackle?
Yeah.
Right. How was that experience?
Exhilarating. I was on my feet 1 second, on my back the next.
Oh. So you're playing baseball and football in high school. When did you realize that you wanted to play college baseball?
I realized, I want to say over COVID, it was me and my brother, and we were sitting down in our gaming room, I guess you could call it now, and my dad came to us, and he was like, you know, do you guys even want to play baseball anymore, play college baseball? And we had been sitting down for the week or 2 weeks, whatever it was that we
just
had off
in
to
your
start
gaming
off.
Room.
Yeah,
yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, just playing around, and we go outside and stuff, but, you know, it really shook me then and there, where I was like, I'm not doing what I need to do to go play college baseball. And me and my brother and then a couple of my buddies went and started going to the field every day, once, twice a day, and doing whatever we could to just train as much as we can and prepare ourselves for that.
Was that, or do you have another defining moment that kind of confirmed for you that you were on the right path to play college baseball?
I'd say like knowing that I was on the right path was probably going to my first, I guess, like pre-college showcase. I went to West Bloomfield High School, and that's right down the street from St. Mary's, and their roster was stacked when I went to high school, and there's a few of their players there, and, you know, I was there competing with them, and I was holding my own, and I'm like, you know, maybe I am in the right spot to go compete and play at the levels that I do want to play at. And I'd say that held true to, or it is holding true today, but it helped me to kind of keep going throughout high school and junior and senior year.
Obviously, you ended up in the Stars program. What was that transition like when you came in as a true freshman and you were transitioning from the high school level?
That experience is pretty eye-opening. You know, you go from playing on a high school team where you have 2 to 3, maybe 4 hitters that are really, you know, smashing the ball, and you got to worry about two, 9, 12 guys, and they can all hit for power, all put the ball out. And I think I was pitching. I came in as a two-way, and I was pitching and threw Hunter Lay a first pitch fastball inside, and I think he hit about 600 feet foul. And
well, at least it was foul.
Yeah. But yeah, I rubbed some sweat off and took a breath of relief there.
You came in as a true freshman on the 50-win team.
Yep.
You know, that was a really special and loaded baseball team, and special in a lot of ways, not just talent-wise, but, you know, had a lot of special people on it. And, yeah, I asked you that question because, you know, it's a significantly different transition from high school or travel ball into a really special team. And a lot of times you don't necessarily know it at the time, but you start looking back on a month or 2 months or at the end of the season or when you take your first trip to Mississippi and you're like, oh, wow, this is a little bit different than what I thought it was.
Yeah, no, for sure. You can tell the level of familiness and just leadership that we had on that team, and you know what Noah and Hunt and Jude and those top leader guys had to really show and tell to the younger guys and just take them under their wing how they did was something special.
Yeah, that was super happy for you to be able to experience that, and I think you might have an opportunity to experience it again this season. We'll get to that a little bit. Babe Ruth said, every strike brings me closer to the next home run. What's a challenge or a tough moment that you think may have tested you the most to this point?
I'd say two-waying in college really tested me because, you know, you always say you have to give up something to get something. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I could do it for the whole year.
And when he's talking about two-way, he's talking about pitching and playing a position.
Yeah, yes. And hitting. And it's a lot of work, you know. Showed up early, I'd want to say hour and a half, 2 hours some days to practice early and, you know, go do all my pitching stuff. And then I got to go over and, you know, no recovery time to go hit and do all that. And I think I kind of plateaued there for a little bit in the spring of my freshman year season, and that was just tough trying to get over that hump, and I had to give up something to get something and give up pitching to get better at hitting. So
what did you learn about yourself kind of through that little bit of trial of resiliency and adversity?
I learned a lot. I can do a lot more than I thought I could. You know, in high school, I think I signed here as a PO and had the two-way opportunity. So, you know, I was kind of thinking, like, maybe I do just want to become a pitcher and, you know, not really grind out all the hard work of two practices in a day and hitting and pitching. And I think that I learned, you know, I can do a lot more than I think. And we talk about that a lot, too, with the 60-40 rule in the Army. And, you know, I think I learned through that and just – doing what you have to do consistently in order to get the results that you want down the road. And it's not just going to be an instant gratification.
Yeah. Really powerful stuff. Do you think back and, maybe I should have just been a pitcher?
I do.
Does that ever pop in?
Especially my brother now.
Because it's easier to be a pitcher, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, than a position player. Yeah. Those guys got it made.
Yeah. Show up and you stretch and just apply.
Just kidding.
No, they're both hard, but yeah, no, there's definitely some days where you're hitting and it's such a high failure rate where you're like, maybe I should have just thrown the rock and, you know.
Yeah. I mean, just throwing a baseball to a glove, even at the major league level, they're missing by like 12 inches every time. So, yeah, I mean, there's no big deal to do that. But to take a round bat and hit a round ball, hit it square. That's challenging.
Tough.
Hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. You're known as a hard worker, and you've grown and matured a lot over your time here with the Stars program.
Thank you.
I think that you become an extremely hard worker, and I'm not going to say that you weren't a hard worker when you came in, but you just grown a lot more to be an extremely hard worker.
Thank you.
What's a favorite memory or a game that you've had while being in our Stars program?
Since I redshirted, can I do one in a jersey?
Whatever you want. This is your podcast.
My podcast. Yeah. Okay. Well, I'd say my freshman, there's so many from that 50-win team alone that could go down as, you know, favorite memories. Our work with the KCS, I don't think I've ever seen Paulie as happy than when Hunt hit the home run for him or when we flew him down to Enid. So I'd say, like, just seeing Paulie smile and how happy that made him, I'd say that was definitely one of the coolest experiences I got to see freshman year. And last year, I want to say, I'd say the funniest is probably when Kevin hit the home run at Kellogg and Boyer did his little spin and jump, if you ever saw that.
Incredible memories that you have. And you mentioned that the KCS Angels, and you're part of the KCS Angels team that goes in every Friday to play games and everything else with them. And I know the feedback that I've gotten, not only the visual, but from Tracy and everybody else, is like, you're such a core member of that. I hope that you can keep coming back year after year.
Yeah.
So maybe you can redshirt again this year. So we get a fourth year out of you. But yeah, I mean, that stuff sort of transcends time. There are these moments that happen in programs or in your sports career. And sometimes it's not the most home runs that you've ever hit or the most points you've scored in a game, but there's or the practices or anything else, but there's these things that stand out that you're like, wow, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't think you can really measure how happy you really make those people there. You walk in and whatever mood they were in before, it just turns into instant joy. And
yeah. It's a special thing for sure. What lessons have you learned in your time here? I spoke a little bit about the growth that you've experienced, which is a somewhat of a normal maturation of a process as you get a little bit older. And when you're in a high performing environment, that maturation process will typically go faster. What are some of the things that you've looked at yourself and said, man, I've seen some growth out of that? What comes to mind?
I mean, you know, my past two roommates, Vinny and Getty, and I've learned a lot from them. I'd say, you know, with Getty, it's doing the stuff that you don't want to do when you have to, whether it's, you know, cleaning the dishes, you know, taking the time to fold your laundry after you did them, or, you know, you might have to move someone else's laundry over to the dryer if you want to do yours. So learned a lot from him about, you know, just doing the stuff that you have to do, and it takes 5 minutes, just do it now. Yeah. And Vinny, just consistency. I think his attitude with everyone. And
what kind of teammate was Vince?
The best teammate you could ask for.
What a legacy.
He's one of the nicest dudes I've ever met, and, you know, his attitude towards everyone and the consistency he had with how he treated people and how he went at the game of baseball. I'd say I picked up on both of those guys a lot and carry a lot within me. And I say learning consistency and discipline from both of them, and growing within that. I've learned a lot from them.
Let's talk about mindset a little bit. And I want you to think back a little to when you first got here. How has your mindset evolved?
My mindset's completely different. I came from a school that I hadn't, if you told me what mental performance was in high school, I would have looked at you like you had a third eye. I had no idea. I mean, I knew, you know, if you think you're going to strike out or you say don't strike out, you're going to strike out. But the level that we do it at is unreal. And I'd say, you know, just the self-belief and your preparation and your thought process and how you speak to yourself and what you can visualize and see really, really matters and really took my game to the next level that I didn't think I really could.
What do you see with Matt? I mean, you get to work with him a lot in indie work, and obviously you're hanging out around our hitters, Coach Allen, quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
What do you see with Matt besides a a big tall kid that's always usually smiling and pretty locked in. Because, you know, the other thing with you, Matt, is you're not super vocal. That doesn't mean that you don't talk, but you're typically not going to get loud whether you are having success or failure. You're just kind of, you know, emotionally, mentally pretty tough and kind of it's a great thing. But what do you see with him, Coach Allen?
One thing in specific that I notice about Matt is he's very process oriented. So, and we actually just talked about it last night after live ABs. Matt's telling me his process behind, you know, going through his hitter's sheet and how he game plans for when he's being successful at the plate and when he's not so successful, and how he kind of looks back on the times where he is successful and uses that to help him get out of funks when he's in them. And kind of going back to the mental side of the game, one of our first conversations was you coming back to the dugout with a helmet on. And I think it was the first fall scrimmage that I was at. Matt's coming back to the dugout with a helmet on. And it's like, you getting ready to hit? No, just taking my mental ABs. I was like, oh man, that's special. That's advanced. You know, that's not something that you typically see out of a kid at the junior college level. And I think that that's kind of where Matt really separates himself is the modeling aspect. You know, he's not always super vocal, but he's going to go and do the right things every day. And he's going to go and have a process to what he's doing. And if he's struggling, he has a way to get out of it. And I think that's really admirable.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you the hometown question. And I call it the hometown question because we're not actually going to talk about your hometown. We're going to talk about the Stars program.
Yeah.
But I call it the hometown question because everybody typically will be like, oh, my hometown's the best. It has the best pizza place. You know, it's the best hometown. And if you've never gotten out of your hometown, then you don't necessarily know that there could be something else better out there. So when we ask our players about the Stars program, some players have been in other programs, but for like you, this is your first college program.
Yeah.
So this is the hometown question for you.
Yeah.
What's what makes our Stars program different?
I'd say just the level of competition and the bought-in-ness that we can achieve and we have. You know, not a lot of programs do a lot of the stuff that we do. And if everyone's not bought in, then you're not going to have the success and the camaraderie that you want as a team. And also it's further than just being together at baseball. It's, you know, everyone at the apartments or, you know, going bowling or going out and, you know, playing football or basketball together and, you know, keeping it competitive and doing stuff together and growing that friendship.
If what you say is true, then how do we get the buy-in in your perspective?
I'd say the buy-in really comes from the older guys.
Usually buy-in's pretty hard for people that haven't experienced something like that, right? Something out of their comfort zone.
Yeah.
You know, something that's not a norm. What do you see?
I'd say it comes from like the older guys, like someone like myself this year in the fall. If I'm not talking highly about buy-in and the stuff that we're doing and, you know, people are asking questions and I can't give them an answer that makes sense or something that they would want to, you know, use what we're doing it for, then they're not going to think highly of it to begin with. So no matter what you say or what I say, if they can't get a great first representation of it, then there's no use really for it at all.
We say things like trust our process.
Yeah.
How hard is that to do sometimes?
It can be very hard, especially if instant gratification plays a huge role. So if you're not looking down the road or, you know, trusting and everything is in your process for down the road and stacking bricks. So if you're not trusting your process and you know, following that, it can be really hard to get the results you want down the road. But to follow your process can be even harder when you're in a hole and, you know, you're struggling. You know, that your process is what got you there, but getting out of your process can take you down.
It's definitely most important to continue following it. Marcus Aurelius says, and you guys hear a lot of stoicism and get a lot of stoic quotes on a daily basis, but you have power over your mind, not outside events. Realize this and you will find strength. What are you working on right now to improve?
I'd say I'm working to improve on my mindset right now, especially coming off for the season.
How do you do that?
Just preparing myself in every at-bat and every scenario and stadium that I can think of.
Do you take notes after at-bats?
In lives I've been taking notes of how many pitches, what the outcome was. If there's a number for exit velocity, I'll write that down and what pitch it was too. So
why do you think that stuff matters?
It's all there for me to remember when I want to look back on it, or if I am doing well or doing bad down the road, I can look back and see what was going on and what I was hunting and thinking that day.
And details matter, right?
Details do matter.
Absolutely.
What kind of goals do you have for this season?
Team goals. I want to win a national championship. Personally, I have it written on my wall. I want to be NJCAA Player of the Week. Okay. At least once.
I love that. Yeah. Is it in big writing or?
Oh yeah. Okay. So big writing, stars next to it, underlined.
Where do you get the thought process to write stuff on your walls or mirrors?
I'd say it comes down to those big 3 liters I had freshman year. You know, I'd go up to Noah Bright's room and he had a picture of Michigan Stadium. Ironic, he's at MSU now. You know, he had a picture of MSU up on his mirror and he had goals written out, and I want to be blank draft pick and want to be the best hitter in the MLB and in college.
And it's affirmations and it's manifesting, and you got to stack a lot of bricks, and you might not end up at the end of the road where you thought you were going to go, but you definitely look back on it and you're like, wow, you know, this was quite the process, and it probably took me a little bit longer than I thought it might, and it might have been a little bit harder than I first envisioned. But manifesting and affirmations are extremely powerful stuff, and I know you do a lot of that. What about beyond this season? What are you aspiring for?
Beyond this season, I want to be the best hitter I can possibly be, and I'd love to be the best hitter in the MLB.
I thought you were going to say that you want to be a professional golfer, because you were talking about that you've been golfing a lot.
I just picked up golf this summer, so.
Are you pretty solid at it?
I'm pretty solid. Started off really bad. So stop counting.
Jeff, isn't there some kind of saying that the golf swing messes with the baseball swing? An old school saying?
Yeah, I've heard that, but I don't think my swing has ever even been close to a normal golf swing to mess up my baseball swing. So, I mean, if you're great at golf, I would imagine it would be a bit of a hindrance.
We talk a lot about legacy in our program. Do you like that?
Yeah, I think it means a lot to the program.
What type of player and person do you want to be remembered as?
I want to be remembered as someone people looked up to and they kind of went to as a mentor on and off the field, whether it's they need help in their approach or with a fielding drill or something like that, or they need life advice or help for a class off the field.
So you think you're going to see your picture up on a leadership board somewhere down the road with hashtag legacy under it?
I hope so, yeah.
I think you're well-deserving. All right, let's do some quick hitters and get out of here.
All right.
We'll do them with Coach Allen, too. We'll really put them on the spot.
All right.
Favorite baseball player and why?
My favorite baseball player has to be Bryce Harper.
Okay.
I've been watching him since he was at Siena Heights in Las Vegas and his JUCO, and I remember I was like, maybe I could do that one day, and then you got drafted and became a Nationals fan, and then you got traded, and now I'm a Phillies fan. So,
Coach Allen?
I would have to say Shohei Ohtani.
Okay.
Just because how he approaches the game.
He's a freak.
You know? Yeah. We've never seen anything like it.
All right. Love that. Matt. Favorite pregame hype song? You're a big music man, so.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go. Coach Allen's heard me rock this in the car. Rock Your Body by Justin Timberlake.
There you go. The walk-up? No walk-up
no,
for that one?
I think I got to go A-OK on the walk-up again.
All right, this one's just for you, Matt. Best teammate you've ever played with?
That's a tough one.
I know. It's a quick hitter. That's a really tough one.
First thing comes to mind.
I'm going to have to go Vinny just because he is my roommate. And okay.
Vince,
I learned a lot
Vince
from him.
Hardy.
Yeah.
If you weren't playing baseball, what sport would you play? And you can't say golf.
I can't say golf.
Nope.
I'm going to have to go with swim. Swim. Michael Phelps action.
Nice.
No speedo, though.
Coach Allen, if you didn't play baseball, what sport would you have played?
I don't know if I would have been great at it, but I would have probably tried to play football just because I like the mentality behind it, you know.
I could see you as
running
a DB.
Into some stuff, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Liked safety a lot. Crack some pads a little bit.
I'd mosh you.
Oh, all right. Well, you got a little bit of height on me, so you might.
All right, last one here. One piece of advice you'd give to your younger self.
Ooh, my younger self, I would have to say go out there and train with intent and do it consistently as often as your body will let you and as often as you can, because your younger self, you have a lot more health and energy. So
yeah, just keep believing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, thank you, fellas, for being on the show.
Thank you.
Make winning in life your habit, not your goal. Remember, excellence is a daily practice, not just a prize. Build great habits and practices that serve you so you can serve others. And don't forget to cherish the small moments. They pass by in a blink of an eye. Until next time, thank you to all of our listeners. Ultimately, we are all playing a game we can't win, so why not play it to the utmost? Go all in and go Stars. Coach Cuts Corner is recorded live in the WLNZ studios with Dalian Lowry and Jeremy Robinson providing engineering and production assistance. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed today's podcast, please share it and follow us on all forms of social media. Our program has been built and maintained with the help of many great people. If you want to be part of our mission, you can donate using the link in the show notes below. You can learn more at CoachCutter.com and more about our team at LCCStars.com. See you next time.
Featuring the faculty, staff, students, and others that helped to make Lansing's premier college what it is today. LCC Connect, Mid-Michigan's connection to Lansing Community College. To find out more about our featured programs or to listen on demand, visit us at lccconnect.org.
LCC Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
Academic success is a priority at Lansing Community College, and when assistance is needed, tutoring is available to all students. Resources include quick print stations, chemistry and anatomy models, microscopes, and several other tools to help students. Tutors may also be available for pre-scheduled after-hours appointments. To find out more about tutoring services, visit lcc.edu/tutoring.
Far from the city, where the Lorax roams free, is the home of a magical truffula trees. They grow happy and healthy and thick as you please, just waiting for visits from yous and from me's. In a place you will love with things you'll adore us, it's a magical spot. We call it the forest.
Look, everyone here needs the trees.
And who are you?
Wait, I'm the Lorax, guardian of the forest. I speak for the trees.
Visit the animals. Come see the plants. From the mighty sequoia to the tiniest ants, discover its beauty. Take time to relax. See brown barbalutes or even the Lorax.
I feel so alive.
I just like hearing you say it.
The forest is there for you to explore. So come once to see it, then come back lots more. Visit discovertheforest.org. This message has been brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Lansing Community College welcomes transfer students. Transfer students may apply transfer credits towards their LCC degree, certificate, or transfer program. Learn more at lcc.edu/youbelong.
LCC.
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
This is Bob Myers from the Historical Society of Michigan with a Michigan History Moment. How sweet it is! Michigan today ranks fourth of all the states in sugar beet production. We owe that distinction to Joseph Seaman of Saginaw and Dr. Robert Kedzie. In 1884, Seaman, a printer from Saginaw, sent some sugar beet seeds home from Bohemia. They found their way to Robert Kedzie, a chemistry professor at Michigan State Agricultural College, now Michigan State University. Kedzie saw the potential in sugar beets and imported 1,500 pounds of seeds from Germany to distribute to farmers. Michigan's Thumb area had by then exhausted its timber resources, and residents were looking for a viable agricultural crop. They started growing sugar beets. A processing plant opened in Essexville in 1898. Michigan's first beet sugar campaign processed 32,000 tons of beets. An industry was born. Growing sugar beets was hard work. Farmers had to thin the sprouting plants, which they did by crawling on hands and knees. Harvesting was done by hand, too. Farmers pulled the beets out of the ground, pounded them together to knock off the soil, cut off the leaves, and then loaded them onto wagons and trucks. It was tough work, but the beets paid well, and the state of Michigan offered a bounty on them. Farmers that could do the work themselves without hiring labor found that sugar beets provided welcome supplemental income. Some farmers referred to their sugar beets as mortgage payers. In 1898, the Caro Sugar Company was founded with a little luck at the poker table. A Caro businessman, Charles Montague, had secured some financial backing, but not enough to start a new sugar company. He invited some wealthy Detroit capitalists to Caro for a meeting and got into a friendly poker game at his hotel in downtown Caro. They played cards all night. By the next morning, Montague arose from the table with enough money and pledges to start the Peninsular Sugar Refining Company. In 1906, Henry Havemeyer, owner of American Sugar Refining Company, merged Peninsular Sugar Refining with five other companies to form the giant Michigan Sugar Company. Today, Michigan Sugar Company is one of the largest sugar manufacturers in the United States. You'll find its products on the grocery shelves under the Pioneer Sugar and Big Chief Sugar brand names, a sweet part of Michigan history. This Michigan History Moment was brought to you by MichiganHistoryMagazine.org.
Sharing the voices of Lansing Community College. Visit us at lccconnect.org.
LCC.
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
K-12 Operations at Lansing Community College has been a proud collaborator of the Lansing Promise Scholarship since 2012. The Lansing Promise Scholarship offers graduating high school seniors who live within the Lansing School District and attend a high school within district boundaries an opportunity to attend LCC. Since its inception, over 1,000 enrolled students have saved over $2 million, earning over 400 degrees and certificates, as well as 30,000 credits at LCC. For more information on the Lansing Promise Scholarship, please visit lcc.edu/hope.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by feedthepig.org.
Well, I finally did it. I opened a 401k.
So you're giving up, just like that?
Giving up on what?
On getting an inheritance from a distant relative.
Don't you think if there were a billionaire in the family, we'd know about it by now?
Listen to me. We are one phone call away from riding horses on our own private polo grounds. One call from christening yachts, having a butler, using summer as a verb.
How do you figure?
Look, everyone's got a rich uncle somewhere. It's statistics. So the best thing you can do is just prepare for the inevitable.
Right. Which is why I thought maybe it would be smart to take control of my finances. You know, start using a budget, get out of debt, set some retirement goals.
Budgets? Debt? You watch your mouth. Retirement shouldn't be a goal for us. It should be a way of life.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
By utilizing interactive activities,
The Youth Summer Camp at LCC gives kids in grades 2 through 12 the chance to explore science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics. Scholarship opportunities are available. Details can be found at lcc.edu/seriousfun.
LCC.
Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
Welcome to You Are Invited, a podcast hosted by Dr. Dale Dan, where we celebrate diversity and invite everyone to share their own stories with the world. Here at Lansing Community College, we believe every voice matters. Dr. Dan and the Office of Empowerment want you, our LCC community, to be part of the conversation. Join us, share your experience, and help us build an inclusive community where everyone is heard.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. Magnolia and Lucas, I hope you know why you're here with us today, because you are absolutely amazing. I've had the opportunity of meeting with each one of you. Oh my goodness, you have left indelibly written on my mind the words that you shared from the hearts that you shared it, and made me think, wow, I can't just be the only listener. I'm sure there's so many out there who can be blessed, can be encouraged by who you are and your life's journey. So that's why you're here today. I feel extremely honored to have you both. So let's get started. How exciting. First question is, tell us a little bit about yourself, very briefly, your full name, location, and some about your current work. Lucas.
I'm Lucas Van Dyne. I'm a full-time English professor at LCC. I was born and raised in a small town in Illinois and spent most of my life in Chicago, and moved here a couple years ago for this job. I'm happy awesome. To be here.
So glad to have you at LCC.
Yeah, thanks.
Amazing difference you're making. Magnolia?
I am Magnolia Larcón. I am from Guadalajara, Jalisco in Mexico, and I currently live in Knoxville, where I am a student in Hispanic Studies at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville.
Thank you. And from the little I've heard about you two, Magnolia, amazing the difference you're making at UTK. Thank you so much. All right, so let's get into some of these fun questions. Lucas, were there any childhood memories or moments that now looking back feel significant in understanding your identity?
Yeah, probably looking back on it in my late 30s, I can't really understand why, but I didn't really like adult men as a kid. Mm-hmm. I was always kind of pushed from them and kind of gravitated towards women and girls. And then that just kind of, as I got older and started making friends, as a gay boy, girls were always the more accepting. So it kind of felt like that was, looking back on it, kind of made sense. But
thank you for sharing that. How did your family respond early or later to your identity?
Overall, very positively. The most negative remark was from my dad, who was, and I quote, not very happy with it, but it's okay. So my family was always very supportive, and grateful for that. And I understand and appreciate that folks don't always have that experience. But I was met with some pretty resounding support for the most part.
That's amazing, because I think we all will agree we need that community. We need that support.
Absolutely.
Thanks for sharing. Magnolia, I'm going to repeat it for you. Were there any childhood memories or moments that now looking back feel significant in understanding your identity?
I became aware at a young age that I didn't fit the boy category, because kids at school or my parents would make me aware of my own behavior by pointing out when and how I was behaving differently. And at school, that was a motive for kids to say mean stuff to me or to make fun of me. Mm-hmm. And at home, that was something that should not be at all. So my parents would scold me or tell me how to behave, how I should dress, and how I should look like, and all to be more boy-like.
Yes, yes. And same for you. How did your family respond early or later to your identity?
So my parents I was in the U.S. when I told him, and it was over the phone. So I didn't experience the reaction in person, and in real time, it was just over the phone. But I told my mom, and she told my dad. And I know by conversations that I've had with them later on in my life,
yes,
they didn't take it positively. Like, I know that they weren't talking to each other for like a month. I guess they were processing everything that they already knew. But then again, when I was 17, I came out as a gay person. But then at the age of 29, when I had already come to terms with my gender identity, I guess I came out again.
Yes.
And that happened over the phone again. And I told my dad first, and he wasn't happy about it. I could sense fear in his voice of what my living experience was going to be like as a trans person. But of course, like, I had a conversation with him, and he expressed his love and support for me. And then when I talked to my mom, she asked me not to go back home again. And then she talked to my dad, and they had a conversation. And then the next day she called me, and she apologized for asking me not to go back home. And she also expressed her love and support.
I'm glad to hear that. It seems it was a little tough at the beginning, but they worked it through with you. And that's so important. And it seemed you were patient through the process, knowing that they needed that time. Thanks for sharing.
Yes,
yes. All right. So back to you, Lucas. So what kinds of support or lack thereof did you receive from friends during pivotal moments?
Growing up and spending like my formative years in the inner city was very helpful. So I had a pretty big support network at high school. And, you know, so coming out as, you know, bisexual and then, you know, as gay, I had a lot of support around that. There was no real lack of support anywhere.
That's tremendous. So you got that both from the family and from friends, right? That's absolutely amazing. Yeah. What about you, Magnolia? What kinds of support or lack of did you receive from friends during major periods of your life?
I guess generally I have received support, and this translates into people allowing me to sleep in their houses. And also talking to me about what could my life in the future would look like, speaking from the times that I had to express who I am.
Yes.
But I also have experienced people stepping out of my life because they couldn't really understand.
Yes.
And they just decided to leave. So it's been, a mixture of both, but generally people have been very supportive.
Again, I'm really, really glad to hear that. Lucas, it seems you had strong from both sides, family and friends.
Yeah.
Magnolia, a little rough here and there, but for the most part, there were peer persons in your life and a community that you could have depended on. Lucas, even though you had that support internally and externally, what internal battles have you faced on this journey?
Always question myself whether I was the person, and as much as, you know, we like to say we don't care what others think, I mean, we do to some extent. And, you know, I was always worried, am I the person that folks think I am? I'm always worried about being able to, and I understand that this is a privilege, but being able to sort of pass for straight.
Yes.
Just for if I needed to in any situation. I guess a lot of that is internally has revolved around if I'm either good enough or quote-unquote masculine enough.
Yeah.
I used to think those things were, you know, very important with, you know, conservative parents, but not anymore. I mean, that's, you know, but not been the case for some decades, but.
Would you say it just got better over time? The time was the solution?
Yeah, I mean, time and just growing into myself as an adult and just becoming self-aware.
Understanding and accepting. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that.
Yeah.
Magnolia, you too. I know you've had a mix of some support, not some support, but what were those internal battles that you faced?
Definitely deconstructing the prejudices that society has implanted in me so that I could, I guess, live freely or allow myself to express myself both as in gender identity terms and also, I guess, my physical appearance. Mm-hmm. And just understanding that people will have different ways of expressing their identities. Yes.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. I can see that. Lucas, did you have language or role models to understand your experience back then when this all first started?
Peripherally, yes. Mm-hmm. I had, you know, my mom was, she was in school for music. So she went to a fine arts school downtown Chicago. So she had a lot of gay friends, of course. Yes. So she would have parties at home and, you know, I would meet all of her friends. And so I would sort of see, you know, adult gay people.
Yes.
So I sort of had that to look at, not emulate, but see that it was actually something that was out there. And
you were not alone.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Magnolia, same for you. Did you have language or role models to understand your experience back then?
I didn't. Mm-hmm. I actually didn't know anybody that identified as gay or as a trans person, nor school instructed in these matters. So therefore, back then, I understood gender identity and sexual attraction as the same thing. Mm-hmm. And with that limited view as the basis, I thought that I was a person attracted to the same sex, which we would understand as a gay person. Mm-hmm. And coming from that, I thought that everyone that felt that way were also battling with the internal identity that obviously changed when I started learning more language about it.
Yes, I can understand that. For now, though, moving away from family, community for a little bit, and friends, I want to focus on each one of you. Because as I said, you're here today because I'm absolutely impressed with both of you, what you've gone through, who you are today. I feel privileged to be a part of your lives. So Lucas, what does your identity mean to you? I'm very interested in that.
Well, it's a loaded question, a lot. One of the things that I noticed when I was applying for a job here was that there was no gay or gay adjacent club that had apparently been disbanded. So that was one of my big things when I was interviewing here. So I guess it's like the gay part of my identity. It's not my entire personality, I do, I'm proud of it. And I do try to use it to my advantage when I can. And I've been thinking about how to answer this and I've not come up with a good way.
It's
okay. So, I mean, I could kind of go on about what my identity means to me and how it's shifted over the years. But being able to accept myself has also allowed me to accept and love others.
Yes.
That's been really big.
Well, for someone who didn't think he could answer the question, you did a great job with it. And would you say from the time you interviewed to now, do you feel there's more awareness or acceptance for gay students at LCC?
It was only 2 years ago, so I feel like the institution does support LGBTQ folks.
Yes. So, glad to hear. You and I have talked through the Office of Empowerment. Yeah. We value every human being.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
You're a star.
Thank you.
So as we have shared with you, we're going to be making more and more efforts to be sure there's a high level of inclusivity. Magnolia, you too. What does your identity mean to you personally?
It is liberation in order to explore me internally and allowing myself to do things and also to have a sense of independence.
Yes, yes. Really, really important having that freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Love both of your answers. The other question I wanted to focus on is what misconceptions about your identity would you like to address, Lucas?
I don't know. I get where we don't all like the same things. I mean, if I could circle back to one of the questions earlier, I realized that, you know, I always felt like I wasn't gay enough for the gays or straight enough for the straight crowd.
Yes.
I'm not someone that likes to go to clubs. I'm not into a lot of the popular music that a lot of my gay friends are. It's a more of like older rock stuff. So it's really just interesting. So yeah, I guess we don't all like the same things. We're not homogenous.
Yes.
You know, we're not all, I don't know how the word to describe it. We're not all predators, I guess.
Exactly.
You know, a lot of people think that gay folks are predators to some extent. And that's definitely a myth.
No, thanks for sharing that. Thank you so much. Same for you, Magnolia. What myths or preconceptions about your identity would you like to address?
People tend to think that trans women, just because identifying with femininity, trans folks have to, at least from my perspective as a trans woman, that I have to hyper-feminize my expression, whereas I'm just another person.
Yes.
So the fact that I don't feel the need to hyper-feminize my mannerisms or the way that I dress, that doesn't make me any less of a woman.
Yes. Thank you for sharing that. You're both in the education arena, right? And we have lots of young students on campus, some who may question or struggle with maybe being gay or transgender or so on. What would you say, Lucas, to a young person who just doesn't know what to do with it? You know, should they hide? Should they come out? What would be your advice?
Well, coming out in certain contexts can be dangerous. I'm speaking people that can't see me.
Yes.
I am a white man. I look like a straight conservative white man. So I can say this comfortably, but I understand that folks can't always do this. Lean into yourself and be yourself when you're comfortable being so. You know, I would say don't forsake parts of your personality or your happiness to make others around you comfortable. You know, don't be quiet to make other people comfortable, but also keep yourself safe.
Thank you. Good advice. Magnolia, what about you? What would be your word of advice?
That whoever you know you're inside, you should accept that and shouldn't limit yourself to feel the way that you feel. But of course, if you are not in a safe environment, it's up to you to what extent you can express the person that you are. It is definitely necessary to be in a safe environment in order for you to fully be yourself. So I guess first, accept yourself, but also understand that you need to be in a safe environment in order to express yourself.
Yeah, good advice. I'm learning just listening to both of you today. It's really, really important for me to leave these few things with you. And in your own words, Lucas, just lean into yourself. Just be yourself, right? Magnolia, love when you said, don't limit yourself, right? I want you to believe with all your hearts, as I do, that in this world today of 8+ billion people, there's no second Lucas. There's no second Magnolia. You fill a space that nobody else fills, and no one can fill it as well as you do. So be confident. If you're not wrong, we have lost a major piece of life's puzzle. Stand strong in that. Stand very strong in that. When you wake in the mornings, remember, I'm stepping out today to make a mark that no human being can make. And I also hope that as you both look into the mirror, that you see what I see. Two amazing persons. And I really can't emphasize it enough. I feel really honored and privileged that you would have spend time with me, whether on WebEx or in my office. I tell you honestly, Lucas, after our first conversation, I remember leaving the campus feeling such encouragement that there's a human being who believes in who he is and who's confident, you know. And Magnolia, not only I've heard a lot of positive things about you, but when I met you as well, it was a wow for me, right? Now, having said all that we've said, I know at times it's not easy, But it's important also that you understand, I can't think of one single human being on this earth that is perfect. So let no one make you feel less than the amazing person that you are. So I really, really want to thank both of you. And just wondering, are there any final thoughts that you'd like to leave with us, especially with all that's happening and spinning around us? Is there anything you'd like to say to an audience listening to you today? Any final words?
Keep yourself safe.
Yeah. And that these kind of spaces are very necessary in these times, because then it allows for, like experiences and information to spread when being outside is not as safe.
Yes.
To do so.
Okay, so keep being who you are, continuing to share words of encouragement with others. I don't have to tell, I've told you before, but it doesn't hurt to say again, love you both very, very much.
Love you as well, Dr. Dan.
And you know that I'm here for you. And thank you for touching my life and helping me to see further.
This concludes today's episode of You Are Invited, hosted by Dr. Dale Dan. We hope this episode inspired you to reflect on your own experiences and share them with us. For additional resources on diversity and inclusion, visit us at lcc.edu/empowerment. We'd also love to hear your thoughts. Send your comments or questions to youareinvited@star.lcc.edu. Your voice helps shape future conversations. Let's keep building a stronger, more inclusive community together.
This is LCC Connect.
Voices.
Vibes.
Vision.
K-12 Operations at Lansing Community College is a proud collaborator of the Lansing Promise Scholarship available to graduating high school seniors. Find information at lcc.edu/hope.
For many servicemen and women, the battle doesn't end when they come home. And I know, because I too struggle with the invisible wounds of service. Pups for Patriots and SAM literally changed my life. If you're a veteran or know a veteran struggling with post-traumatic stress or traumatic brain injury, go to AmericanHumane.org to learn more about the Pups for Patriots service dog program. Let's give our veterans a fighting chance.
A message from American Humane.
The Lansing Community College Foundation provides scholarships that make education possible, change students' lives, and uplift our community. The foundation annually accepts scholarship applications from November through January. Learn more at lcc.edu/scholarships.
This has been a presentation of LCC Connect, a weekly program that features the voices, vibes, and vision of Lansing Community College. All shows featured on LCC Connect are recorded at the WLNZ studio, located on LCC's downtown campus. Each program is podcast-based and can be heard anytime at lccconnect.org. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on one of our shows, connect with us by emailing lcc-connect@lcc.edu.